How many years have you been saying the Haggadah, right? Exactly. Around 3,000. Okay, so tonight I would like to discuss the topic of addressing anti-Semitism at the Seder, processing pain or harboring hatred. Thank you, Beit Medrash Zichron Dov, for putting this together and for printing out in color this wonderful, beautiful packet. So, unfortunately, many of us living in North America and especially in Israel, the topic of anti-Semitism really has been on the forefront of our minds. And we thought, maybe foolishly, maybe not so foolishly, but we thought it was over, right? We thought that this would never happen again. But unfortunately, we've seen anti-Semitism rearing its ugly head again this year after October 7th especially. So I wanted to just to discuss through that prism of what we're experiencing right now as a people, I want to discuss really how do we look at anti-Semitism? How do we deal with it? Are we supposed to forget about it? Are we supposed to move on? Are we supposed to feel anger? Are we supposed to feel pain? Are we supposed to have, you know, feeling of retribution, vengeance, forgiveness? How are we supposed to deal with it? There's a lot to discuss, a lot of different sources, but a very big, I would say, a thematic source text that many use is the Haggadah. The Haggadah, the Pesach Seder, really the story of our redemption, our freedom, has a lot of important messages about how we deal with, how we process anti-Semitism. So, just to, I guess, ground us in a little bit of mental health, which is always a good idea, there's an article which I'm going to be quoting from a few times in this presentation by Rachel Yehuda and a number of other authors. And she writes that in context of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is really her specific area of expertise, specifically intergenerational trauma. So she says that most of us think about resilience as the ability to bend but not break, reading from source number one, bounce back, and perhaps even grow in the face of adverse life experience. Right, adapting to that pain, right, adapting to a scenario where there's trauma. However, she writes that this definition is not really so useful, as the idea of resilience really is very complex. And what I want to do with you tonight is just to highlight a few different places where we'll see the Haggadah gives voice to our feeling of victimhood, our feeling perhaps of retribution, but also we're going to build towards processing it and not harboring that hatred, but actually going through and every year highlighting anti-Semitism, but also actually giving us a path forward. So, two places the Haggadah talks about, there's a number of other places, but two I want to highlight, that the Torah, that the Haggadah talks about our experience with anti-Semitism or our enemies, and that is source number two we have in V'hisha Amda. We say, right, in all generations, V'chol Dor V'Dor, Omer Alinu L'Chaloseinu, right, every single generation, Omer Alinu L'Chaloseinu, our enemies have stood up to destroy us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. And also we have perhaps the most vengeful formulation in all of our Tanakh. It's actually Psukim from Tehillim and from Yirmiyahu, but it's quoted in our Haggadah, Shvoch HaMascha El Hagoyim, or Al Hagoyim, depending on which Sefer you're talking about here. And, right, pour out your wrath upon the nations of the world, Asher Lo Yaducha, that do not know your name, Vo'am HaMachos Asher B'Shimcha Lo Karo, and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name, because they devoured Yaakov and laid waste to his habitation. So this has really caused a lot of commentators and questions to be raised about this idea of Shvoch HaMascha. Generally speaking, we would imagine that in Judaism, if we're dealing with enemies or people who we really have not the greatest things to say about and have a history of persecuting us, we would probably assume that the best ideal scenario would be that they would do teshuva, that they would repent. Right? The Gemara in Brachos tells us that we should pray for the sinners to repent, not to be wiped away, not to be wiped out. So why are we asking God to mete out vengeance upon these people? That's generally not our approach. There's some explain why we spill out some of the wine out of the glass when we're doing the Makos, the 10 plagues, because we want to say that the pain of the Egyptians are still on our minds. We shorten Hallel at the latter part of Pesach, because again, the Egyptians were pained and we don't want to sing. So there's a concept of the pasuk in Mishlei, right? Al tismach ben nefilas oivecha. I think that Harold, Dr. Sevich will get us exactly what's the pasuk. Benefil Aivecha Atisma. That we don't rejoice over the fall of our enemies. So some want to limit the scope of Shvuach HaMascha. This is Rav Eliezer Ashkenazi, the first who does this in his Haggadah Ma'aseh Hashem, and as well, following much later, Rav Eliezer Fleckless, one of the Talmidim of the Nod of Yehuda, the Rav Yechazkel Landau, and they come from this perspective of limiting the scope of Shvuach HaMascha to those who specifically have a history of persecuting us and do not believe in God. And that's why specifically, if you want to look at the language of the Haggadah and of the Psukim is lo yaducha, that they don't know you, God, but those who do know you, God, those who have done good for the Jewish people, those non-Jews who have supported us, are not being referenced at all in this passage. Interestingly, just a little historical point that Rabbi Menachem Mendel Kasher makes in his Haggadah Shlema, that why do we open the door by Shvuach HaMascha? So some say we were greeting Eliyahu. I always remember, when I'm a little kid, when I was a little kid, we open up the door and people say, pour out the wrath on the non-Jews. And I'm always thinking like, shh, not so loud, So, but Rav Kasher actually says, and this goes back to that feeling of anti-Semitism and being persecuted. Rav Kasher suggests, why do they open the door? Not to beckon in Eliyahu HaNavi, not to beckon in the redemption, but rather they were looking around the door to see maybe there are going to be some non-Jews looking for a pretext to attack and to actually cause a pogrom and find a way, oh, the Jews are starting to talk about the non-Jewish people, we're going to go and we're going to use this as a pretext to start an attack, a pogrom. So they literally open the door, of Kasher suggests, to check to see if there were any enemies. And you can look, there's a painting about this. It's not so clear if you can see, but maybe in the colored picture you can see there's little tented, like almost like Ku Klux Klan people there. I don't know if it's really historically accurate, but they're coming in from the door to sort of barge into the Seder. It's a 1892 painting that in the Haggadah of Menachem Kasher that they translated into English, they cite this, they bring this picture here. Other approach has been that we're going to, Rav Moshe Chaim Bloch claims that there's another text which is cited by many other Haggadahs, Shvoch Ahavasecha, that there was a sort of an alternative reading of the Haggadah, and it's really to pour out your love upon the nations that do know you. Most scholars agree that this is not a real poem that was written but rather it was actually compiled by Moshe Chaim Bloch himself in 1963. So how do we, and also just if, whatever we do with this, whatever we say about the Haggadah Shvuach HaMascha, Shvuach HaMascha is in Tanakh, so really, as a traditional Jew, you accept what is ever canonized in Tanakh as that's the word of Hashem. So what do we do with this? So I want to suggest, and you have this packet you can keep, we're not going to read every source inside, but there's other approaches, but I want to read for you an approach from Rabbi Lam and then go back to what we read from Rachel Yehuda. So Rabbi Lam suggests that we need to talk about our feeling of persecution. We need to talk about, give voice to the pain that is so part of the Jewish story of anti-Semitism, because in source number 10, he says, those who give verbal expression to their enmity are usually the least likely to act upon it. In other words, if we give voice to it, if we feel that we can talk about the pain that we experience as a people, then we're going to be able to process it and not harbor that hatred and let that hatred fester, and we actually could, it's actually therapeutic for us to go through and experience what it means to go through being a victim and what it feels like, and that feeling of vengeance that needs to be voiced. It can't be hidden underneath the surface. It needs to be let out and released. And I think this really goes back to what I was talking about before about intergenerational trauma. In source number 11, Rachel Yehuda, she says that really the truest way, or the what she wants to say, the new working definition that she believes in resilience, is not that you never develop after experiencing trauma, never develop post-traumatic stress disorder, never exhibit any signs of feeling that trauma. No, people who are very resilient actually can show and exhibit forms of post-traumatic stress or some sort of negative emotional response. The key of resilience is not that you're not experiencing those symptoms. The key of resilience is that she actually quotes from a commercial. I'm too young to know this commercial, but the Timex watch apparently had a commercial that would describe it. Everyone's laughing here. The Timex watch takes a licking and keeps on ticking. So the point is that a person actually could experience pain, go through traumatic experience that we have as a people. And I remember after the rally here at the Bayit, someone said to me, I feel like I'm going back into the Holocaust. My parents are Holocaust survivors. I'm going through post-traumatic stress disorder. And the answer, the real definition of resilience is that doesn't mean that we're not healing. That doesn't mean we're not in a process of recovery. She says here, my current definition of resilience as it applies to people would involve a reintegration of self that includes a conscious effort to move forward in an insightful, integrative, positive manner. And I'm just going to quote this last line over here. Like sobriety, a person is trying to go through, let's say someone is struggling with substance abuse disorder, they have to go through counseling, they go to AA meetings, they go to different support groups that have to frequently reconfirm that decision to move forward. So when we come together at the Pesach Seder and we're talking in this festive moment of freedom and the Jewish story, and we're talking at the beautiful Seder, we have to talk about the painful part as we reaffirm every year that our experience, we went through trauma, we went through difficulty, but we have to reaffirm and make a conscious effort that we're going to move forward, that we're going to forge a way forward, that we're not going to let our trauma define us. It's not about harboring hatred. It's about recognizing that there are people that want to hurt us. There are our enemies, but we need to grow and we need to reintegrate that into our identity by actually expressing our feelings of frustration, by expressing it, and in that way make a conscious effort to move forward and to bring the story to Amir Tashem, the Geula Shlema, as the actual Haggadah brings us from Maskel B'Gnos and Mishayim B'Shevach to begin with slavery and to end with the redemption. But every year we have to revisit that painful part of that story.